hello, internet, and this is a bleed over from the pre-show discussion. Do wolves have barbed penises?
What?
Wolves?
Cats do.
You're the biology dude.
I'm an ichthyologist.
Well,
there is no such thing as fish penises. Done. Drop the
what
mic.
About really? What about those squids that have the detachable ones?
It's actually a tentacle that behaves like a penis, but it's not actually a penis.
I'm calling it acts like one.
Oh, wait,
I'm calling
and
it
there
one.
Are fish penises. I'm sorry, sharks and rays have two. They have one for each testicle.
I really, first of all, I hate you.
What?
Because in my attempt to answer the question about the barbed thing, I Googled canine penis.
Oh no.
And when you go to the Wikipedia page for canine penis.
Oh no.
There's a giant picture.
Today's show brought to you by Big Red Rocket of Love by Reverend
Horton
Heat.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And canine. I think the answer is no, it is not. Judging by
oh, man. Awesome. Now there's something I forgot. I did some research on this. But
of course you did.
Winter. But I couldn't find anything. Winter skates have of course. So, I mean, dead serious. Like it was one of those, like I actually took one apart once just to see, cause they've got a testicle, an actual exposed outer, like all, well, skates do, sharks, not as much, but skates have, exposed testicles like mammals do. And but they've got one testicle beside there. They call them claspers. They're fucking, they're elasmobranch dicks. But they have a weird, like they kind of behave a little bit like a turtle's, where they can open up like really wide.
Right.
And what's weird is specifically on the winter skate, there is like a razor sharp spur, like enough that I was getting fingers cut off gloves. Like handling these things, like pick one up and it had it a little bit open. And next thing you know, I'm either bleeding into my glove or my glove is filling up with water. Cause it's just slashed straight through my glove. And I used to wear really the heaviest rubber gloves they made because, you know, didn't want to be changing them every 5 minutes and have to bring like a whole case of gloves every time I went out to sea.
Are we changing the name of the show to the Penis Report?
No.
That's only for when you're not here, Brita.
Sausage party.
Sausage party. I respect my
no.
people's heritage. Sausage.
Sausage.
What's that?
Sausage.
Nothing.
Stop is it baby
what?
Property?
It's sausage and Guido.
Oh.
And also, my it's wife's like Netflix, family makes a pepperoni soup they call sausage. Just sausage. I don't know if you've ever had it.
I've never even heard this word.
Sausage. It's just Guido for sausage. It's Moorish for sausage. Moorish for
sausage. So you say sausage in Moor.
I was mentioning, I can't remember what I was. Oh, that was, I was talking to a coworker who's Italian, and I was stating that just FYI, that it was a recipe that I had on the Sicilian boat, but I'm like, this is a Sicilian recipe, so it might, I understand that, yes, people from mainland Italy don't necessarily consider Sicily Italian. And he said, the Sicilians have a chest at the end of their beds. And inside the chest is all of the flags of the world. And just whenever the newest conqueror comes by, they dig out that flag and hang it off their balcony.
No, Sicilians can't afford that many flags.
I don't know. Hello, Internet. How are you today?
Internet, how you doing? How you doing?
Shark penises.
You know, remember, I wanted to mention, while the two of you are talking about stuff,
Dex.
I wanted to mention that
we all sound alike, according to the English.
I know. I find this really interesting. Hayden, who is our friend from the internet and a listener. Hello, Hayden, and hello to Hayden's coworkers.
Who hello, English people. Okay, so to alleviate all confusion,
to our show,
my name is JG.
Hold on, Weird.
I'm Italian.
And I'm Elizabeth Q. Weirdington.
Let let Brita tell the story.
It doesn't matter because we all sound alike.
Let Brita tell the story first. Otherwise, nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
Right, so, okay. Hayden said that he plays the show occasionally for his coworkers.
In England.
In England.
I want to know how often Hayden is asked into the HR director's office.
Yeah. I'm. So.
Hayden's kind of a badass.
So he was discussing the show with his coworkers, I guess. And his coworkers thought that there were only three people on the show. Me, obviously, I'm the only female. I sound like a female, I think.
Yes.
Alan, who speaks Texan.
He talks about acorns.
Acorns. Hi, Zuzus.
And then apparently Jay Weird, or Weird Jay.
Yeah, it's Weird Jay.
Weird Jay, who sounds like one person. Now, to me, because I'm used to American accents, you sound like completely different people to me. But to
British people, we're actually not.
You are not Siamese twins. I've seen you separately and together.
What's two hilarious is that now, Jay, I'm the fat one.
Didn't always used to be that way.
Did you gain the daddy 15?
This summer was so rough because early summer, I had no shower in my house.
Oh.
So I did not want to work out because I would
clean
myself with baby wipes.
So why didn't you know what? I would have hosed you off in the yard.
And then
slower.
And then when finally the bathroom renovations were completed, we were in the depths of this like hot, dry summer that we've had.
Oh my God, was it up to 70?
Oh yeah. Stop.
But it was just unbelievably hot. And I was out of shape, and I just did not really want to get into that. And then, so I might have packed onto a pound of few on there. They're disappearing right now. I'm on the other side of it.
It's going to be a cold winter, so you need the insulation.
But I will have never been as lean as Jay since I've known him personally. I mean, when I first started reading Jay's blog, he was a fat motherfucker.
No, not my blog. When I was guest blogging.
That was Toys in the Attic days.
Was that like 20 years ago?
Because I started my blog in 2007 and I'd already lost the weight.
Yep.
Wow.
I first saw JG and read and was reading blogs for the first time in 2004 when essentially I was Googling Massachusetts gun laws because I was in Massachusetts and I owned guns and I wanted to know what the story was and realized
the answer you found was you're on your own, kid.
The answer I found was mass backwards.
Ah.
And you got many a good mention.
It was a friggin' weird kid. I introduced my family to the Jay and Mike find a sunfish video.
Oh, it is hysterical.
It's a baby freaking whale. Well, he says it's a baby fucking whale, Jay. Jay, you're not gonna believe this shit.
Oh, they ain't right. It's fucking dying.
Quick, let's get it salted so we can sell. That's good meat on that, kid. I love it.
No, it is not. No, it is not. There is nothing good to eat on those bastards.
They go from it's dying to there's some good meat on that. in the span of 3 minutes.
Can you eat that?
There are cultures that eat them. I believe only the fins are edible, but they're in the same like species as like pufferfish and lumpfish, and there's not really a lot of good meat on those that type of fish. And I don't know. Yeah, no, I wouldn't bother. Like, I mean, the amount of effort to get a, like, 150-pound, like, dead, stupid, engine block-sized fish over the side of your boat, and then to try to find where the choicest meats were and cut them off effectively, and then figure out how to cook them. It's just, why bother? Just take pictures of it and say, it's a dead freaking whale!
It's a baby fucking whale, kid! We're seeing shit we ain't never seen before. What, like college?
Oh! And the hilariousness is, of course, I go, but yeah, but Jay and I don't even sound remotely alike because I have a Maine accent and Jay has a Massachusetts accent. And if you're in Maine, you can tell the difference. And if you're in Massachusetts, you can tell the difference. But
you get all sorts of pissed if somebody thinks you have a Maine accent if you're from Mass.
But the,
that shit'll get you cut.
They friggin' ban you up, guy. There's the big the kill. The Maine ER. The Maine ER and the Massachusetts NT. Nobody in Maine says Kant.
Like, but Immanuel Kant?
Kant.
Now Kant, I have the earworm. Yeah. Thank you, Jay.
What?
The earworm. The Monty Python Immanuel Kant earworm. Damn
and,
it.
And you hate Monty Python.
I hate Monty Python.
I'm the special kind of evil, Brita.
On behalf of America, to Hayden's co-workers listening on bar there, I must apologize for Brita. All of America loves Monty Python except
Brita.
Except Brita, yes.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, when I watch TV shows and whatever, that like BBC shows or documentaries or whatever, there are British people who sound like Hayden, right? Mm-hmm. And perfectly understandable and, you know, fine. But then there's those British people who I need the subtitles for.
First in your drink, governor.
It's just, if anybody who has watched Doctor Who, okay, Rose Tyler is a really good example of this. I needed subtitles for Rose Tyler. It was, and I'm thinking, we're
not Liv Tyler.
Both speaking English, but I need subtitles.
You probably don't know this, Brita, so I'm gonna pitch this out to Hayden and his coworkers of what part of England is she from?
I think she was putting it on. I think I'm sure she was, but
I'm just what accent was she doing?
And then there's who that knows? English accent. There's an English accent where they all sound like the priest from Princess Bride. The male witch. It's seriously like an accent. Their accent is really like they all have they can't pronounce R or something.
I still like the Guy Ritchie movies.
Yes, to love. They all this sound is, like that.
This is the moment where I get to talk about my new boss.
Oh yes.
I just started a few weeks ago. I started with a different company. My boss is actually in England. He's not here in the U.S.
You're no longer governed by Americans.
Alan, when you're in like conference calls with him, are you constantly playing with your knife?
No.
Can you have switchblades in Texas?
Of course.
But you can have them. You can have switchblades in every state in the union. But can you carry them around?
As long as the blade is under 5 1/4 inches long,
which is a pretty easy thing to do. I want to see someone with like a 6-inch switchblade or like a ten inch switchblade. The thwonk! It's got a friggin' truck spring to drive the blade out.
And when it extends, it like throws itself out of your hand.
It uses a truck leaf spring and a Kel-Tec trigger sear.
So my boss sounds exactly like David Tennant.
Doctor Who.
One of the doctors.
Yes. Exactly like David Tennant.
Jay knows Doctor Who now.
I do. And my daughter makes me watch it.
In fact, I almost don't think of Doctor Who as the Doctor anymore. I think of him as the guy, what is it,
your boss.
Kildare on Jessica Jones.
He was good and so evil in that.
Yes. He was actually, I think he was better at that than he was at the doctor, which is really hurt. Really me to terrifying. Have to say,
but he was seriously terrifying.
It
in
was.
Show.
He was. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Jessica Jones, yeah. First season. David Tennant plays the evil guy in the season, and he is horrific. He
can't be evil. He's the doctor.
Oh no!
Please, the doctor's not good or evil. He's just the doctor.
I'm a doctor.
So anyway, while I'm listening,
no, you play one on TV.
So I'm sitting there on conference calls with my boss, and I'm like, I'm thinking, like, fuck, I work for the doctor.
Does he actually sound like the doctor?
He sounds.
Or does he just have that generic British accent that we apply to everyone?
Yeah, they all sound.
I don't know. I don't. He must be from the same area that David Tennant's from because he has the exact same accent. He sounds exactly like him.
But you say he does not look like the doctor.
Not the least.
Okay. So they don't all look alike.
Well, you know,
that's just us Italians.
There is a certain British look, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, bad teeth.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, there's
racist.
They all look the same to me.
The garbage teeth thing. I think that ship has sailed.
I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've like seen someone that had like the British teeth smile, and I believe that person might have been a heroin addict.
Meth heads have really good teeth.
Well, yeah, but I'm just talking about just that. I mean, evidently there was just a long history of like bad dental hygiene within the British.
Big book of British smiles.
Not just bad dental hygiene, but no dental hygiene.
Yeah.
Well, they were afraid of toothpaste.
Well, plus there was a genetic propensity. The people descended from the English actually have a higher
the
incidence.
Angles
of,
and
yeah, they
the
say that about the who's the lead singer of the Pogues? Shane McGowan, is that his name?
Shane McGowan, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's Irish, by the way.
Yeah. Supposedly yeah, Shane McGowan's horrendous smile. Is he still alive?
No.
Okay, well, good. Maybe. Did he die of an overdose?
I have to look it up. I don't know if he's still alive. I'm assuming no.
I would assume as well. Like, he might be.
If you Google Shane McGowan teeth is the second Google suggestion.
He's still fucking alive.
Yeah.
But allegedly his very, very famous snaggletooth grin, which, ooh, look at that. He fixed it. Good for him.
Yeah,
he got some choppers.
He got his teeth fixed.
Good he just for got you, Shane.
Dentures is what he got. But the, his bad teeth were partially resulted to neglect, but a huge portion was to a genetic condition of some sort where his teeth were very, very prone to decay.
Is he like sober now? Because
he's alive. So yes.
Remarkable. That is remarkable. Actually, no. I know somebody who went to a Pogue show not too long ago, and they said he was shit faced.
Okay,
like a couple years ago.
Could be off drugs, but just on alcohol.
Yeah. I'm not as concerned about the whiskey with Shane McGowan. I was more concerned about the heroin.
Yeah, problematic.
Substance abuse in Wikipedia. In 2001, Sinead O'Connor reported McGowan to the police in London for drug possession in what she said was an attempt to discourage him from using heroin. Blah, 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 blah.
Fucking knack.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's got a strong liver.
He's a fucking knack, kid.
And by strong, you mean Irish.
McGowan has suffered physically from years of binge drinking. He often performs while intoxicated and has been impaired in interviews. No shit.
Impaired.
That's one. That's word one for it. We also use the term shithoused.
Well, every picture you see with him, he's got like a freaking bottle of whiskey in his hand or something.
And a cigarette.
I believe they call it knackered.
He's not just drinking beer. He's putting back the hard stuff.
Well, that's the only shit I drink. Because hard liquor is delicious.
Bourbon, brownest of the brown liquors.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
What brand?
It is Wild Turkey mixed with sweet vermouth, Montenegro Amaro, and some orange bitters.
Ah.
Allegedly, this is called an old chief, but I didn't have the specific Amaro she listed. But let me tell you, you mix it that way, it's pretty fucking good. I bought a bottle of Montenegro Amaro, and number one, not made in Montenegro, made in Italy. And number two,
it's not made by Mountain Negroes either.
A little bit of a regret. I'm not a huge fan of it. And entirely on other news, for whatever reason, during the point that we started the show, I got thinking about Fiddler on the Roof for no reason apparently. But if you spell Laser Wolf how it sounds with Americans, there are a whole ton of like laser tag places called Laser Wolf in America. Okay.
Lisa was on the computer upstairs.
Oh, cool. He's arguing with his family.
What? Sorry about that. I thought it was on mute. My bad.
Jay doesn't know how to use the mute.
Mute.
And to Hayden's coworkers, I was just arguing with myself.
Yes, you were. hey,
and talking to my teenage son.
While Jay's occupied.
Yes. I want to talk about the Willoughby shooting.
Okay.
And the victim.
And the victim. Yeah.
Did you shoot somebody?
I did not.
Damn it.
But by the way,
Rita, when you do shoot somebody in Willoughby, because let's face it, it's going to happen. You need to ask the officers after they've done it if you can keep the skin. You gotta cape them out.
I want to mount him on my wall.
That's right. Say, can I cape him out?
Are you kidding? Brita will have him field dressed before the cops get there.
I'll look it up, how to do it.
How to skin a hobo.
I'm a research librarian. I can do this shit.
Yeah. I did not shoot anybody. But okay. The shooting was a mile from my house. 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Jesus.
It just happened, yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah. And I actually get lunch at 1 o'clock. And so I drive from, it's like 4 miles away. I drive home to feed the cats and feed myself and stuff. And I heard a lot of sirens, for at lunchtime yesterday. And I didn't think anything of it, but come to find out that in a parking lot, we have a Lowe's like 1 mile from my house. I guess there was this guy, he was trying to, I don't know what the story is. He was trying to return stolen goods. And he was also driving a stolen car.
Ooh.
And
we call that a winner.
Yeah. And somebody called it in that there was, somebody in the parking lot with a felony warrant. I'm not real clear on the story, and it really hasn't, the whole story hasn't come out yet. Cause it was just yesterday, but, the cops stopped him and they probably ran the plates, tried to get his ID. He gave him a false ID. And when the cops tried to get him to exit the vehicle, he tried to flee. And in the course of trying to flee the scene in the car, he hit the cop with the car. And it looked kind of like there's actual eyewitness video of the shooting. And it looked to me like he ran over the cop's foot with the car, and then the cop basically shot 3 or 4 times into the vehicle at the driver, and the driver's trying to flee. And the guy drove straight across the street, like he got out of the parking lot, went straight across the street, which is like the main really busy street in Willoughby at lunchtime, went straight across the street into a different parking lot right across the street and crashed into another car, and the guy died. So now, and the first I heard of it, I was like thinking, oh God, let the guy be white. Let the guy be white.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I didn't want Willoughby to have this whole, Black Lives Matter.
You didn't want to have to drive through a crowd of protesters?
Well, there's that. I didn't want to drive through.
Catching on fire?
Right.
Brita has the car for driving through protesters, though.
Well, I do. And I could put the bodies in the back.
All of them.
What are you driving now, Brita?
The Grand Marquis, man.
Oh, yeah.
Three or four bodies. No.
Correction. The
Grand Marquis. Grand Marquis.
The pimp wagon.
Pimp wagon.
Grandma, as in grandmother. Oh,
did you put spinners on that shit?
Oh, no, I have not.
Do you have some mud flap girls in the back window?
I want to get flame job, maybe.
Oh, flame job. Oh, I love it. I love it. A tasteless flame job.
We bought the car used. We bought the car used, and while we were buying the car, the sales guy, he mentioned the name of the woman who owned the car before us, and her name was Joyce. She was like an old lady grandma, and so that's what we call the car now. We call her Joyce.
She's still in the trunk, Brita.
No, she's not in the trunk.
I was expecting it to Joyce be Ladasha.
Ladasha. No, I was thinking it was like Eunice.
Nope.
No.
Wilhelmina.
So yeah, that's the big excitement in Willoughby. I guess the guy had multiple felony warrants out for him. Yeah. He was driving a stolen car at the time.
Ooh,
trying to return stolen. No, he was a pretty white guy. I don't know.
And tried to run over a cop. But, you know, they had no reason to shoot him because there's never a reason to shoot a fleeing felon. Oh, I disagree.
Hearing Brita's story where he was.
I saw the video and it really, I don't know. It would be a hard decision for me because it looked like he hit the cop. He didn't intend to hit the cop, but he hit it's like one of those. The cop got in the way of the car. It's not like he was gunning for the cop.
No, your point is 100% valid, Brita, and your point is 100% just. Mm-hmm. I've got to say though, like hearing how you told the story,
yeah.
I really do wish that we had a system where it was one of those like, okay, cops shot this guy. Now we're going to decide whether or not it's a justifiable shooting.
Yeah.
Or civilians shot this guy. First, we're going to talk about what a fucking piece of shit the person that got shot was.
Right. Right.
Because it's one of those things of the, if you're like, let's say Roman Polanski. If, you know, an average person decides just to shoot Roman Polanski, just shoot him, you know, and all that. Maybe they should get gone down to involuntary manslaughter because the jury decided, you know what, Roman Polanski is a child rapist, so he is kind of a piece of shit. So yeah, it was cold-blooded murder, but at the same time, you did do society a favor.
Yeah.
No, then against society.
And this guy had multiple dangerous drugs and escape warrants and was driving a car stolen.
Also, how many Academy Award winning films had this guy made?
Yeah. None.
Okay, so he doesn't have Roman Polanski's only defense.
Right. He doesn't get the Polanski defense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just glad the guy was white. That's all I have to say. it'd just be annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, that's Willoughby.
Well, because if it had been black, all you would have heard about was this, you know, innocent, unarmed black person that was sitting in their car in the parking lot minding their own business.
Right. No, reading a book.
And a cop just walked up and shot him.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason.
Yeah, Alan, don't forget reading a book.
Yep. Man, that's the one that really bothers me.
Really pushing it. Seriously? Yeah. I mean,
and on top of that, you know, again, no gunny has like, I mean, the media, it's unfortunate the media is so progressive and stupid because it's really kind of a juicy thing is there's the photograph of the gun, and it's a Colt Mustang.
Yep.
And it is hammer back, safety off. He, like, if they had not lit him up when they did, he would have been sending 380 rounds downrange.
Right.
Like, he was within,
he was ready to shoot somebody.
He was absolutely preparing to shoot somebody. Like, there's no way. Like, I could definitely say, like, oh yeah, no, if they, I mean, on a Colt Mustang, actually, I don't know on a Mustang. Jay, have you handled many Mustangs?
I had a SIG P238, which is identical.
Is it completely identical? Because I know those you can put the safety on with the hammer down. Can't you?
I do not know that.
Okay. But either way, I've certainly, you know, there's enough people, and I would imagine, like, the gangbanger community might even have it to a higher degree of the carry on an empty chamber. So the hammer down. But, probably, you know, not. Hammer down, safety off. But, yeah.
Or there could have been a 32 ACP wrapped in duct tape inside the chamber, too.
That is also true. Thank you, Law Dog.
The thing that really pissed me off about that story.
For those who might maybe didn't hear, this story, I heard it in person. You were there, Jay. you were sitting at the table. That's, yeah, right. Law Dog arrested some dude, and he had a Colt single action army that was stolen, and he had all six chambers loaded with 44 Magnum rounds, and he had a problem that the 44 Magnum rounds would not fit into the 45 Colt chambers, so he wrapped them in electrical tape until they fit. Oh. And Law Dog's statement is, can we give it back to him?
Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, the only thing is, you can't. I couldn't live with myself for letting that happen to a Colt single action army.
That's true.
Well, see, that's what I was.
There's enough shitty clones of it out there.
Exactly.
That's why I felt really bad about that Colt Mustang, because the Colt Mustang's a nice little gun. And I'm like, fuck, there's a nice, perfectly good Mustang that's going to be sitting in an evidence locker until a cop decides to take it home. So,
until a cop steals it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I guess it'll go to a good home eventually.
I believe that was an older Mustang, so that one actually is worth quite a bit of money. If it's not too methed up.
Yeah, there's no telling. It may be all.
If someone hasn't used it as a crack pipe.
Yeah, you never know.
Good time.
I was going to talk about Jay is finally vindicated.
Oh?
Yes, Jay is vindicated. It turns out a crock pot will burn your fucking ass down.
No!
Whoa!
No!
Hold the fucking phone. What do we got here, Alan?
Technically, it wasn't a crock pot. It was a slow cooker.
It's a crock
same
pot.
Same thing.
That's just because crock pot's trademarked, but it's the same thing. There was a consumer.
Yeah, Bradley posted
consumer
it.
Consumer product.
Why don't I see everything on Facebook?
I'll put a link.
It's because you have like 8 million friends, Brita.
I actually don't. I'm weeding them out. Damn it!
I'll put a link in. Oh,
I don't have much longer, do I?
Chat.
No, you're cute. You can stay.
I had a tie on.
The U.S.
I know the tie. The tie gives you extra points. Actually,
we'll talk about that next. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. This is not the company. This is the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Has forced this company to recall. Several models of...
Where's this link?
I put the link in the Skype chat.
Three squares brand rice and slow cookers.
Right.
Oh, come on.
Improperly installed wiring
made in China
that can cause the appliance to short out, leading to fires and electrical shocks. So,
yeah, it's still a crock pot, and it still burns your house down.
Three squares.
Vindication.
So,
there sweet you go. Vindication.
There you okay. go. There you go, Jay.
Like I said, I need Matthew Allen's Crying in the Wilderness, JPEG.
See, there's the sad thing is they've actually got like a good, like the. Yeah, that's not the same brand.
No.
Like they've actually got like a good slow cooker as the splash on the news story you just linked.
Yeah, it's and then, actually
and then, disingenuous. And then you've got this cheap Chi-Com piece of shit.
Yes, don't buy those things. Yeah. You know what? Slow cookers are not expensive.
No, they're not.
Really, at a standard slow cooker, maybe $20.
A real crock pot.
And let's face it, factor in minimum wage, the amount of cost it takes you to spend 5 minutes dumping shit into it and then pushing a button. And then going to work or going about your, going to work. Leave your fucking house unattended. Just so you know, just leave the goddamn house and then come home and to supper. Done and done.
Or like, smoldering wreckage.
It's worth 50 or it's worth $100.
Yeah. That thing pays for itself in like the first time you use it.
Yep.
Well, okay, Jay, I will concede that there are cooking devices, shitty Chinese made in China, shitty cooking devices that you should not leave plugged in unattended.
These were sold.
However.
Yes. No.
However.
Like Crock-Pot brand Crock-Pot.
Yes.
Not expensive. And I have never seen, like, there was not like the great Crock-Pot recall of 2012 or anything. Like that has never happened.
And on top of that, my grandmother had a Crock-Pot. My mother had a Crock-Pot. Yeah. I've had a Crock-Pot.
Right.
Every last one of them my grandmother was not a stay-at-home mom. She worked. She was an RN and she worked all. She might have stayed home a little bit
Look at the name of this thing.
Yeah.
TIM3MACHIN3. So like time machine, but with threes instead of E's. Come on.
Being edgy.
That's how
crock pots reach millennials. They have to be edgy and talk in leet speak.
These did not actually burn anyone's house down. They just.
No.
They're
afraid it's going to happen, though.
They could.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
They just shocked somebody because they weren't.
Eventually, you're going to burn your house down.
Oh, so by the way. This is mostly for Brita. Brita, can I lay some porn on you?
Oh no!
We baked a ham.
Oh, food porn.
A week or so. Oh yeah, the good kind, Brita. The kind that's going to get you going. Like,
video of you eating.
No. Like, I could send a video of me spinning the copter, and you're just going to roll your eyes. But I talk about food, and everyone on all the internet gets to hear Brita come.
Okay, what is it?
So yeah, we baked a ham. And joyously when we bake a ham, I cut the meat. We get a spiral cut and I cut the meat off and I don't do a fucking good job. I just cut enough meat off till I feel that I've done a good enough job because the bone goes into a bag.
Yes.
And then at a later date, the bone goes into the crock pot with just tons of quote unquote wasted meat hanging off of it. And then I chopped up two, medium sized onions, about, I would say almost a pound of baby carrots, a bag of split peas.
Yes.
And then I had from a previous crock pot run, when I cook chicken in the crock pot, which I take chicken and then I do various vegetation, onions, sometimes lemons, sometimes green or red peppers and all that. Just kind of layer them into the crock pot. I don't add any liquid whatsoever. Just cover it and let it go. And you get, salt, pepper. And you get some beautiful pulled chicken in the end. And then I pick out all the I pick out all the meat, I throw away all the skin and bones and as much vegetation matter, and then I just strain it into a jar. And you get the fat goes up to the top, and then there's this, soup base jello stock.
Yum.
That forms at the bottom.
That's the good stuff, man. The gelatin. That's good.
It's fucking amazing. I cannot believe that like I went for so long throwing that stuff away.
And it's good for you.
Yeah.
It's good for your joints and your bones and your gut health. It's, that gelatin stuff is really good for you.
So you take that jello stuff and add 7 cups of water to it. I mean, I guess in theory, I had already reconstituted a little bit into a very, very strong chicken stock for another recipe. Mm-hmm. But I essentially took what was left of that, though even that, after it had cooled down in the refrigerator, had already started turning soupy, you know, thick again. I did that with 7 cups of water and peppers and salt. I didn't do any salt, but just, you know, fresh ground pepper, and let that go all day long. And then you hit that.
Sounds great.
And then at the end of the day, you fish the bone out and pitch that in the trash, and then hit the whole thing with immersion blender. Pea soup.
Pea soup. I love pea soup.
I love it. I
love
pea soup as well. I actually think pea soup is my favorite soup. And yeah. And also I replaced my chicken stock because I made more chicken. So there were 2 days this week, Jay, where my crock pot was running all day in a completely empty house.
And eventually your luck's going to run out, my friend. You're going to come back to smoldering wreckage. You're going to say, God damn it, Jay was right.
But the nice thing about it is I have a house alarm, and the house alarm will call me when the crock pot burns the house down.
So you'll be alerted to your house burning down.
Yes.
You can go watch.
And also, here's another advantage of a crock pot is if you have home renovations being done, which is actually the second stage of it's going to be starting pretty soon, you can put food into the crock pot and run it and drive the workers crazy.
Oh my God, nice. That roast smells so nice. Good.
Because your house smells so fucking good. It is the more cruel version of the baking chocolate chip cookies in a house before an open house showing.
Yeah.
It's because it involves meat.
I heard bread was supposed to be good too. The open house. Yeah.
Just cook anything in there. I would go my 4-hour pork ribs. But yeah, any sort of thing like that. Let the crock pot run with some chicken in it.
Oh, here's another appliance that Jay probably will not approve of at all.
Because will it burn your house down too?
It has potential for that.
There you go.
We've been using the food dehydrator, and because
I would love a dehydrator.
It's awesome.
You don't leave those running all day, so I have no
problem.
Yes,
I do. Yes,
you do.
It takes hours.
I'm thinking of a vacuum sealer. I'm sorry.
No, dehydrator.
Yes, dehydrator.
Yeah, but to be fair, like those things only produce maybe like 80 degrees of temperature.
Yeah. It still has a heating coil, a
hair dryer element.
It is
strapped to this big gigantic stack.
Yeah, that's true.
What have you been drying, Brita?
Well, we had a lot of hot peppers in the garden this summer.
Yep.
And we've been both dehydrating the hot peppers and also smoking them.
Ooh.
So we're making our own kind of chipotle peppers.
Brita chipotle.
Yeah, and they turn out really well, but I think Jay would be nervous about the food dehydrator.
Well,
I've also been doing fruit and stuff. Like I dehydrated bananas and apples, and
Do you do a wash on it? Because my mom had one like back in the early 90s, and it was one of those like fad buys. Of mom bought it, we used it like heavily for like maybe a month, maybe two.
Yeah.
And then it got like put away, and then eventually there was a yard sale and it was gone.
Well,
but then this was the days before the internet.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing we did bananas.
And yeah.
They turned
you have to put lemon juice on the bananas.
Yeah. They turned into the shitty banana chips. I've heard like dip them in honey.
Yeah, I did.
You got to wash them with something.
I just sprinkled the banana with lemon juice, and I sprinkled some cinnamon on it, and they were fine.
Good.
But they're not like the banana chips that you buy in the store.
The ones that taste like bananas?
Right, because the banana chips that you buy in the store are actually fried and then coated with banana oil. So they taste very banana-y, but they're not actually dehydrated bananas. People think they are, but they're not.
Oh, yeah. No, like, literally, if you take a banana and dehydrate it, it will literally taste like a wheat thin.
Pretty much. Yeah, they're not real. You know, they're still, they still have the fiber and the carbs. You know, I like them before I
the go potassium. To the gym. You can't potassium dehydrate still there. Potassium.
Right. They're good, but... Yeah, it's not what people think of when they think dehydrated bananas, that's for sure.
I've heard those food dehydrators are absolute garbage for making jerky.
Yes. I would not attempt it because it scares me. The food poisoning scares me. Because it could happen.
Food poisoning, and then also it's one of those, like, it produces not enough heat to do the more fast-cured jerky, like when people make beef jerky in their oven.
Right.
But it produces too much heat to do like nice, good, like cold jerky.
Right. People usually make a jerky and food dehydrators that's made out of ground beef, which does not seem appealing to me at all.
It sounds so fucking disgusting.
Right. Yeah.
Like what? You mean, what are you getting? Like that sounds like you're making meat dip. And I mean, dip as in pack a lip.
Ew.
As in, I got a dip tin circle on the back in the back of my blue jeans with my very pressed blue jeans.
Yeah, I have not ever tried it.
I'm a sprinkle a little grade A 93% lean and then pack a nice fat lip.
But I have had my food dehydrator for quite a few years, and I use it at least every year, especially when like all the garden is done and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, no, we did it with my parents used to have apple trees.
Oh yeah.
And many a plant that people grow in their home gardens, you have absolutely none of it and you're buying them at the store and then you have altogether too fucking much.
Right, exactly.
What did your apple trees look like?
What?
What did your apple trees look like?
Trees. We had a Golden Delicious that actually looked like a regular old tree. It was like perfectly straight and tall. And then we actually had a Cortland that was like a runty, like gnarly looking tree.
Tell the story, Alan.
Well, you know, you grow up thinking of apple trees as being like, I don't know, like this like big tree like you could sit under. And have like shade and sit there and apples fall on your head and shit.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Exactly. And you know, it's like a tree, like an oak tree, but it has apples.
They're not, they're tiny.
They're not like that at all. I'm
yells
off.
At him to get off his lawn.
Well, cause okay. So I went up to visit, you know, Brita and Mike and Brita's mom and, so we go to, there's this like freaking apple orchard where they sell awesome apple cider and apples and all this kind of stuff. And Brita's like, oh yeah, we'll go to the apple orchard. And I was like, cool. And cause I love apples and we get there and there are no apple trees. I'm like, where are all the trees? And Brita's like, those are the trees. And they're like,
little tiny things.
They're like bushes. Yeah.
They're like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, okay, so, if that. So Alan, freaking bushes.
Let me talk you off the ledge, Alan. Alan, we love you very much. Let me talk you off the ledge. Just so you know, those are kind of like apple trees 2.0. So first up, number one, there's not really any such thing as an apple tree, so to speak, because apple trees have like massive amounts of chromosomal recombination when they fertilize themselves. So if you were to, say, eat a nice, delicious Honeycrisp at the grocery that you bought from the grocery store and go, man, this is a fucking delicious apple. And Honeycrisps are really good apples.
Oh, I know. You plant the seeds, you won't get it. Put
the seeds in a little, you know, in a little pot in your house and raise it up and all that until it's a nice little seedling and just plant it outside and like,
it
fuck
not,
yeah, I'm going to water
this
shit and all that.
It would not make Honeycrisp apples, right.
Yeah, just so you know, yeah, If in fact you're living in like, you know, the northern part of the United States and you see a tree that looks like that might be a cherry tree, but it's growing in like someone's front yard or it's in a park.
Crab apple.
That is a crab apple.
Do you ever have crab apple fights?
And all that is the feral apple tree. And what's hilarious is my daughter has discovered, I mean, I told her, yeah, those are crab apples. And so she realizes they're apples, even though they might be like, you know, 5 millimeters across the fruit. And so she has made it a point, like, we've got like there's a park near our house and there's a ton of crab apples in it, which is, again, these are just essentially feral apple trees. This is just apple trees that got pregnant out of wedlock. And, and she makes it a point to like, I want to try that one. I want to try that
okay.
one. And we've picked an apple off of every one and 90% of them are fucking dreadful.
Yeah.
A couple of them are pretty good though. Though pretty good as in the taste that you get when you bite into them are fantastic. But you know, the apples are these little teeny to this specific one. They were like bright yellow and the size of marbles.
Right.
And they tasted pretty good, but it's one of those, like, you got to be real careful that you're not just getting a mouthful of seeds. But yeah, so you can't just wildly plant. Every apple tree that you've ever seen was grown from a graft where they took a branch from a pre-existing apple tree and stuck it into probably a crab apple tree that was already established and then let it grow. And then as it grew, trimmed off the crab apple branches until you only had a Honeycrisp or a Golden Delicious or a Macintosh.
Well, I had felt really badly for poor Alan. He was so excited about the apples, you know, and then he was the sight of the apple orchard was a bit of a letdown.
It was a huge letdown. I was
there really, used to be as a kid, like I remember, I was actually thinking we took my daughter apple picking. Hilarious. My daughter picked like a quarter bushel of apples because she would wander into the middle of these little dwarf trees and pick all the apples that big people can't get to. And also because we had such a horrible drought, there were apples, but they're really small, which is perfect if you have a 3-year-old, because she will take like 3 bites of an apple and then decide that she doesn't want it anymore. And you can very comfortably throw that in the trash. Because there's maybe 2 more bites left on it. It's all good.
Pear trees, however, are big.
Yes. Pear trees are huge, which is funny.
So they're small. They're small.
Someone's trees. Hungry.
That's Ronan.
Yep.
He's going to eat 2 bites of his food and then say he's done. It's like this whole big production, this whole big Ronan drama about the food. Yes. Oh, yes.
But, yeah. But no, they're. I remember, like, I was thinking about this back when I was a kid and I used to go apple picking with my parents. Like, there would be ladders in the orchard and you would bring a ladder over to the tree because, the trees would be. Now, it's hard to judge because I was probably like 4 or 5 or 6 by the time of this memory. So, you know, I was maybe 4 feet tall. So, yes, maybe the trees looked like they were 20 feet tall, but they probably weren't. But they're probably like, you know, 10 or 15 foot tall apple trees. And actually the camp we go to, there are apple trees that are, they're not good shade trees because they don't have really dense foliage, but there are this camp in Vermont, they've got an orchard. There's like 8 trees in orchard.
I have.
And they are, there is definitely the closest apple to the ground is going to be 5 feet off the ground. So not any of these like dwarf trees where there are apples on the ground.
Right.
Like you gotta just like write off some perfectly good apples for loss because they grew in contact with the ground and the ants are eating them. And Alan can smell them.
Well,
the ants,
according to the Wikipedia, the font of all knowledge, they're large if grown from a seed. The trees.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're large if grown from the seeds. However, the apples you actually eat, like Weird says, are propagated by grafting from other trees onto rootstocks, which makes the resulting tree small. So according to this, all the apples you actually eat come from teeny little trees that are like 6 to 15 feet tall, top. But they can get up to like 40 feet tall in the wild if, you know, grown from a seed.
Oh, 40.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay, I've never seen an apple that big.
Well,
I've definitely seen a whole bunch of like 15-foot tall apple trees.
I assume these are going to be the ones that are like in like Central Asia where they were native.
Yep.
And I did not know this, they're in the rose family.
Yeah.
Yes. Rose hips.
Mm-hmm. No wonder they're so good.
Which, by the way, rose hips are fucking delicious as well.
They are very good.
They got to be careful to get the right one. Some of them are thorny.
I want to commend you guys for not talking about the debate.
What debate?
What debate?
I won't lie. Someone asked me,
did anybody watch it?
I said, no, I'm not going to watch it. And then I ended up watching it.
I did not watch it.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I probably watched half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say true story. I was watching the debate and I was also watching PSAs on YouTube on how to shoot heroin.
Because you wanted to relieve your misery?
Not quite. not quite. I actually had recently listened to a podcast by it was a podcast appearance of a guy just before he OD'd on heroin. One of the things he mentioned was, "Oh yeah, no, you can actually look up how to shoot heroin on YouTube." And I'm like,
"I'm sure you can find anything on YouTube."
I need to see this. Well, I had definitely seen people shooting heroin on YouTube before, but I'd never actually seen like an actual PSA on like the
here's the how-to. Oh, wow.
They had this weird like in this one video it was like a British video on all that, and I know Canada does. I know Canada doesn't do methadone. Canada, and I think UK as well.
Was it Doctor Who British or was it subtitle British?
No, it was Doctor Who British.
Okay.
It was very, very, very proper London English. but I know the United States, we've got this big thing of the, no, we don't do heroin. No heroin whatsoever, but we'll get you hooked on methadone and sell you methadone for the rest of your life. Get you hooked on our brand of heroin. But I know Canada will give heroin to addicts as part of, a management of an opioid habit. And I believe the UK does as well. But they had this whole thing where, like, the weird thing was the dude had, like, opened up a little, like, it was all, everything was pristine. It was, like, all medical grade. So you see him, like, opening up a perfectly fresh, like, insulin needle. Opened
it's like
up,
the privileged heroin addict.
Opened up a sterile packet for a syringe filter. Which I got thinking about going, what the fuck would you need a syringe filter for anything but shooting heroin?
Right.
Because when you're, I load syringes every fucking day in my job, and I'm loading them from ampules of drug and or saline that are designed to be injectable. So yeah, you don't need to put a filter or anything like that in them. But he also opened up this little, like, cute little, it looked like the world's smallest soup pot with a little plastic widget on it that was kind of an insulator. And that was a sterile cooker.
Oh my God.
So, like, this guy wasn't even doing the classy thing of bending a spoon that he stole from a high school cafeteria.
Wow. You know, we just had library staff day the other day, and we had a police officer come in, and he was talking about the heroin epidemic that's happening in the town where my library is. And he said that one of the weirdest things about heroin addicts is that they will deny their use of heroin to the bitter end. He said that if you get like a crackhead and you bust a crackhead, they'll be like, yeah, man, I will try to steal your shoelaces. I'm a crackhead. You know, they will readily admit it. They'll come out with it. They'll be like, yeah, I'm a crackhead. You know, he said, it's the weirdest thing. He's like, I haven't figured out why yet. He says, but I have gone to multiple overdoses where somebody will be passed out, overdosed. And when they come to, they still have the needle in their arm. They will deny it Oh, man, I don't do heroin. You have the needle in your arm. And they will, to the end, deny that they do heroin.
You know why?
I don't know why.
Because they're fucking addicts.
Yeah, but
is this an intervention, Brita, for me saying the fact that I'm not doing heroin?
Well, maybe.
Which, by the way, if I was suddenly diagnosed with a terminal illness,
that'd be the way to go, man.
I am doing motherfucking heroin. Yeah, no, I have got like safes of guns beside me, and if I'm ending my life, I'm doing it with the H.
Yeah, seriously.
That's the way to go. Especially,
first, take care of your list, though.
I don't have a list, really.
You need to do your homework, son.
I really don't. I mean, Brita, can just email me your list.
You don't want Brita's list, trust me.
You're not on it. Just that's all.
Just email me your list, Brita, and you know, maybe on my way back from finishing it, I might drive over to your house and grab you in the pussy. Just as a thanks. There you are, Brita.
That's how you
thanks.
Get on my list.
That's right. And then anyone who grabs you in the pussy?
Well, it depends on the circumstances, I would say.
But yeah, no, I did watch the debate, and I heard the latest, like, you know, the latest like conspiracy theory, but I gotta say, is really legitimate, is was Hillary working off of a teleprompter? I heard somebody say about the first debate. I never actually watched. I saw it at work, and I just kind of skimmed the video. I skimmed the video without the audio on Hillary allegedly using a teleprompter at the first debate. But I must say, like, watching the debate, she is constantly looking down at the podium. And
it doesn't
strike you as odd until you realize, no, these are supposed to be unscripted responses.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of the podium right now. It looks like regular podium, but who knows? But I have to compliment her on her choice of white pantsuit, because that was a bold move.
Especially after Labor Day.
After Labor Day, right? But also, like, wearing colors like black make you look fatter. Or wearing colors like white make you look fatter. Because it's visually, it's, you know, it takes up a lot of space.
She knows the election's over.
Well, I don't know. And she stands out from the blue carpet. She looks great.
So the I was actually watching, I wasn't going to watch the debate, and then I realized it was a local news personality has discovered Google Hangouts and just essentially was doing a live stream from his studio, of the debate, and just went, oh, fuck, well, I might as well just click. I was watching YouTube videos anyway, so I just said, oh, I'll just click over. And one of the jokes was they were saying, like, they just decided that it was just before they took the stage, and they're like, all right, Donald Trump, it's either going to be a red tie or a blue tie. What's your bet? Bet on it. Red tie or blue tie?
Red tie.
And said red, yeah, the guy guessed red tie, which was correct. And they said, what color pants, you know, or says what kind of outfit Hillary's going to wear. And he said, Dr. Evil.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then she walked out on stage on that, and he goes, fucking called it.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Definitely was doing the Donald Pleasance, Ernst Blofeld.
Uh-oh.
What?
Hey, Jay.
Everybody still
yes?
there?
Yes.
Who's your favorite Blofeld?
What?
Are you a Bond fan?
Not especially. I mean, I watch him, but not like.
I know Brita can't be. There's no way Brita's a Bond fan.
I love James Bond.
Do you love James Bond?
Yes. I used to watch those with my dad all the time.
So who's your favorite Blofeld, Brita? Jay, you're dismissed. Brita, who's your favorite
Blofeld? Who the Blofelds are?
What?
I didn't have like encyclopedic knowledge of the James Bond.
Blofeld was.
No, I need to look it up. Hold on one second.
The leader of Spectre.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Actually, wait, never mind. I know you well. I didn't know that you liked Bond, but I do know that Telly Savalas played one of the Blofelds.
Oh, well, then he would win, of course.
Yeah. So you would definitely be rocking the On Her Majesty's Secret Service Blofeld.
Yeah, totally.
Alan?
Oh, I am looking at the choices, and yes, Telly Savalas.
Who's your favorite Blofeld?
Alan, sigh. Everyone drink.
Can I say none?
None? You don't like Blofeld?
No, he likes nuns.
No, oh. I don't.
Max von Sydow is my second choice.
Max von Sydow is my first because that's the bearded Blofeld, and also Never Say Never Again is a really fucking good movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Max von Sydow's like got Psychopath down perfect too.
He's got everything down perfect. He's a phenomenal actor.
Okay. I mean, if I had to, I don't know. Telly Savalas is so good, though. I don't know. Sydow just looked too crazy for me. I didn't buy him as a Blofeld because he seemed too crazy to pull off a evil genius plot.
Though I gotta say, with Telly Savalas, he was a little too hands-on to be Blofeld. I kind of like Blofeld as being just the kind of like shadowy mastermind. And I'm almost with the there was a whole this I am cropping this from another movie, which was Lucky Number 11, which is a fantastic movie if you haven't.
That is a good movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
And they have the whole Who's Your Favorite, and they mentioned the whoever the fuck the actor is from Russia with Love, which is the first time Blofeld's ever introduced in the series.
Oh,
and
that's
you never see his face. And that I must admit, even though I can't say that's my favorite Blofeld, because again, you don't ever. I mean, it's barely a concept of Blofeld than anything else.
Donald Pleasance, and he's got the eye thing, right?
Yeah, that's from You Only Live Twice.
Right.
Donald Pleasance was pretty good. I feel like Max von Sydow took the Donald Pleasance Blofeld and perfected it. And Mike Myers took the Donald Pleasance Blofeld and made it hilarious.
I never saw those. I didn't want to. I didn't want to, like, ruin it.
Wait. Yeah, the first one was pretty good. The first one was really good, and I like the third one because the third one was not giving a fuck. Like, the third one was just schlocky jokes and, like, just not even attempting to make any sense.
Wait.
The second one was trying to keep the first one going, and I felt was awful. But the third one was just shtickla.
You're talking about the new ones?
I'm talking about Austin Powers.
Oh, Austin Powers.
Wasn't that what you were talking about, Brita?
I thought you were talking about... Okay, never mind.
Pay attention, Alan.
Jay, what are you clicking on?
I thought...
Porn.
Are you playing Minesweeper or are you looking at titties?
Yes, I'm playing Minesweeper. That's it.
Click, click.
I'm almost cleared beginner. Now I blew myself up.
Beginner, man, you suck.
Well, if you're going to talk about James Bond, we have to go in through the eternal question.
What?
Who was
Roger
the best,
Moore?
Who was the best Bond? Oh, fuck you, Jay.
You, Jay. By the way, Hayden, you have four. It is 9:18 on the Thursday, the 20th of October. You have 48 hours to post who your favorite Bond is in the Squirrel Report Facebook page,
and it better be Roger Moore.
Oh, no.
And just so you know, that is JG saying that horse shit to all you British people out there. Weird Beard's got motherfucking taste.
Who's your choice, Weird?
Yep.
From just straight up Bond actor. So it's a little bit different. So I really, Connery's high on my, so I'm going to say Daniel Craig, number one. Like, I really like, especially Casino Royale. is I think the best Bond film ever made.
I'll agree.
It sticks the closest to the book.
The Daniel Craig Casino Royale.
Daniel Craig has, so there's a bunch of issues with Bond through there. Like Roger Moore, he's tall, he's blonde, he's good looking, and he's a complete fucking fop. Like he looks like James Bond till he opens his goddamn mouth.
And then
another Bond that I really hold to a high level is Timothy Dalton. I really only like Timothy Dalton in View to a Kill. Not View to a Kill. That was Moore.
Living
Daylight. He is James Bond.
I love View to a Kill only because I love Christopher Walken as the villain.
Yeah, well, duh. Because you had to bring in someone the caliber of Christopher Walken
and it's
to match Roger Moore.
For Roger Moore being such a bad Bond that he has to fuck Grace Jones.
And I'd
like to add the little like X-rated side scene of where he's eating her pussy and saying it tastes like Dolph Lundgren. That's just me.
I'm sure that outtake.
Somebody else is going to enjoy that as well. Because Dolph Lundgren was in View to a Kill, and he was putting the meat to her at the time. He was her steady. But I like Living Daylights an awful lot. And Timothy Dalton has the scowling, like, Bond's a dick. If you read the book,
yes.
he's not a nice guy. Nope, he's a piece of shit. He's damaged goods, he's a fucking assassin. Like, you're supposed to love him the same way you love the atomic bomb. It brought the world war to the end. There's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing nice about it. But you know what? If it wasn't for that motherfucking bomb, we'd probably still be fighting in Japan right now.
You know what? There is kind of a fun quality about the Roger Moore Bond. It's really campy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So I kind of like campy things because, you know.
See? Roger Moore.
I kind of, and Roger Moore was kind of the James Bond of my childhood.
The other Roger Moore Bond film that I love is Man with a Golden Gun because, again, it's the only Roger Moore's I like as I like because the villain is really good.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lee and Christopher Walken, both the Christophers. Right.
Exactly.
Phenomenal villains, and I love watching those Bonds for that reason. But you've got the spectacular stunt where he drives the AMC Matador, I think it was. Jay, do you remember? What the Bond car was in Man with a Golden Gun?
They all blur together.
It was an AMC, I believe it was a Matador. It was either a Matador or a Hornet.
I think you're right. I think it was a Matador.
I think it was a Matador. I'd be willing to. I think Christopher
AMC Matador AMC, Coupe.
Yeah, AMC sponsor. I believe.
Yeah, it was an AMC Matador Lee drove Coupe.
A Hornet.
You're talking about the one that turned into an airplane, right?
No. That was Scaramanga's car.
Well, that's the one that was Scaramanga's AMC Matador Coupe.
Yeah, but I think there's a scene just where Roger Moore jumps into an AMC dealership and steals a car to commence the chase, and he drives it over a broken out bridge that is so decrepit that it is tilting, and so he essentially does a 360 jump of the car, which is a really fucking impressive.
It's the red hatchback.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's a Matador liftback coupe and
a Hornet.
It was a Hornet.
A Hornet was used for the famous twisting corkscrew aerial jump and captured in just one sequence.
Yep. Wow. It is absolutely a fucking amazing stunt. Except when you watch it, there's a motherfucking slide whistle. They put a slide whistle for the sound effect of the car doing a corkscrew. That's how campy Roger Moore was.
My favorite James Bond though is Roger Moore, not Roger Moore. I'm sorry. No. Sean Connery. Sean Connery.
I think it
might have to do. Well, first of all, Sean Connery is so good looking, and so manly, like good looking in such a manly sort of virile kind of way. And but also the aesthetic of those movies, like the early to mid 60s, is like the perfect aesthetic for for the spy novel kind of movie.
Yeah, I like Goldfinger.
Yeah,
I think it's an okay movie, but I really see I view it with some disdain because I see it as that's kind of the magic point where James Bond started to sell out. That was where they first started introducing all of the insane gadgets and very MacGuffin-y style of storytelling and making it. That's when they started turning them into big Hollywood blockbusters.
Yeah, and they sued Napster then too.
And I absolutely love. But Connery is great in the fact that he's big, he's tall, he's strong, he's got real hard angles to his face. But at the same, I think Connery's big problem is he suffers a lot of problem, like due to the time. Like if you watch Dr. No and realize that was 1962.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really old movie, and what a fucking dick Bond is as the hero of that.
Yes,
shooting people in the back, you know, killing chicks after he slept with them. I mean, there's he's nasty. James Bond
was a sociopath. He didn't.
James
care.
Bond absolutely was a sociopath, and the issue is like Dr. No is as nasty as Casino Royale is. But the problem is that the 1962 audience would not be able to put up with Sean Connery doing what Daniel Craig did.
There's an interesting thing about Dr. No and the choice. I was just looking at the thing on it on the when they were selecting the actor. Apparently, Fleming wanted somebody like David Niven.
Really?
He wanted David Niven or Christopher Lee
because he wanted a suave actor. The producer disagreed. He said he wanted a ballsy guy, and he was talking about Sean Connery. And he said, put a bit of a veneer over that tough Scottish hide, and you've got Fleming's Bond instead of all the mincing poofs we had applied for the job.
Poofs.
Mincing poofs.
That's my punk band name. Mincing poofs.
We're the mincing poofs. Yep.
And they said the choice of Connery was also based on his looks and sex appeal.
Well, hello, in the swim trunks.
Oh, he was extremely handsome, virile, and sexy, and that was really the tenor of what the script was trying to display.
I will say that Fleming's choice of his cousin Christopher Lee would have actually been pretty fucking good too.
It probably
would have taken off the way it had, but again, going from the novels and all that, Christopher Lee's not a bad choice. But no, I can't see
Christopher Lee in a pair of swim trunks.
The problem with Christopher Lee.
Well, that's because you didn't watch A Man with a Golden Gun because he spends half the movie in him.
The problem.
Really?
The problem with Christopher
what
Lee
am I thinking of?
Is the way he looks. You got to remember in the James Bond books, James Bond was like, he was a sociopath, but he was also a one of those people that was undescribable later.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is not.
Oh, he had a scar.
Well,
he had the scar on his
chest. No, that was a Bushmaster ACR.
Oh my God.
Fuck, I'm off. I'm done. That's it. Good night. Spike the mic and just walk away. Yeah. Man.
Well, we're like an hour and 20 minutes in, so I think
we're a little over.
So anyway.
No. Okay.
But I will say I have a hard time. Connery is there's I think my first place is Daniel Craig. Second place is a tie between
Roger Moore.
No. Is a tie between Timothy Dalton and Sean Connery, but it's a tie only because it becomes hard to separate the actor and their portrayal of Bond from the source material and the era of which it was shot.
Mm.
There's so much like American zeitgeist mixed into both of those. And the fact that, you know, in Dr. No, he is a dick. He is a sociopath, but he's kind of a very soft sociopath compared to modern day. Like, he's not American Psycho or any of these other, like, just complete, like, anti-hero movies that have since come. They really had to rein him in a little bit versus, you know, like, Daniel Craig has no reins whatsoever. Do whatever you want. It's James Bond. It's going to sell. But I think Dalton did a really, really good job, especially after Moore, of going very, very directly to the source material as far as his character's attitude and behavior. And then, yeah, after that, I'd have to go Woody Allen.
Woody Allen?
Not good in swim trunks.
God. What is it, the 1966 version Casino Royale? God, that was a piece of shit.
All right, we got to go. This is taking a
jump the shark.
However, right. Next week.
What?
Next
James
week,
Bond will be returning in.
Next week, we will each pick our favorite Bond girl.
Oh. Okay.
Grace Jones.
True.
I still can't find a picture of Christopher Lee in swim trunks. If somebody can find a picture of Christopher Lee in swim trunks,
put it in the
squirrel port page, because I can't find anything.
Oh, man. We totally went off the rails on this one.
That's fine.
I told you it'd be the best show ever.
Well,
you didn't believe me.
It always is.
Rita was all mopey today. Oh, it's going to suck. We're going to talk about politics. It's going to be awful. Turned out pretty good, didn't it?
Yes. Fine.
I want to hear those three little words that mean
nope.
So much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Internet.
That's good, Internet.
See y'all.
Bye.
Good night.